first and last stanzas of that song. Let me bid you welcome again. Appreciate your attendance very, very much. We have a couple song leaders in the congregation, but they're all absent today. So that's why I was called upon to lead the singing, along with giving the lesson. But I hope you received an outline this morning. They're on the table in the foyer. I asked my brethren to look around and make sure folks have an outline if they would like one to follow along with the message this morning. As Rick said in his introduction to his scripture reading, we're going to talk about the last words of Jacob to the children and his blessing upon them, and then specifically take a look at the life of Joseph and see what did Joseph learn from his father Jacob, from father to son, or from father to children. What are some lessons that for today, what lessons can I and my wife give our children before we die? So there's some valuable things, and that's what the lesson is this morning. When someone dies, precious memories, we say, flood our soul. I'm missing a page. If that's okay. I'm missing a page in my notes. Don't rejoice. Don't say, yeah, I don't need some amens. Boy, it's our lucky day.
Want to see what's on your desk?
But again, when a loved one dies, and we've experienced that in our lives, that precious memories flood our soul. And many times after the passing of someone, we'll say, remember when? Remember what they said? Or we may recall an event. Oh, I remember that. Well, in this story, in our text that was read to us, Jacob has died. And he must have left Joseph some fond memories. You think about the life of Joseph. Remember, he had that coat of many colors that was given to him as a child from his parents. Or the time that his brothers deceived their father into believing that Joseph was killed by animals, when he was really sold to a passing troop of the Midianites, and he eventually ended up in Egypt. Or maybe Joseph is remembering, oh, I remember when Benjamin, my brother, was held hostage in Egypt in order to get his father to come to Egypt because of the famine. Oh, I remember that. Maybe Joseph is thinking, oh, my father has just died. There's some precious memories. But now Joseph's father is gone. There's some things, not only that Jacob left Joseph, but there's things that we as fathers need to leave our children. I don't know the author of the poem. It says, I may never be as clever as my neighbor on the street. I may never be as wealthy as some other men I meet. I may never have the glory that some other men have had, but I've got to be successful as a little fellow's dad. There are certain dreams I cherish that I'd like to see come true. There are things I would accomplish before my working time is through. But the task my heart is set on is to guide a little lad and to make myself successful as that little fellow's dad. I may never get earth's glory. I may never gather gold. Men may count me as a failure when my business life is told. But if he who follows after is a Christian, I'll be glad, for I'll know I've been successful as a little fellow's dad. So I'm going to look at in our lesson this morning, four precious memories or a heritage that Jacob left Joseph. Number one, in your notes, he had the ability to forgive his brothers. The ability to forgive his brothers. You see, while Joseph lived at home, his brothers in Genesis 37 verse 4 says they hated him. He was hated by his brothers. They could not speak peaceably to him. And so Joseph, by his brothers, was envied. He was mistreated. He was cast into a pit. He was sold to people passing by. And his brothers lied to their father about where Joseph went. So now he's a slave in Egypt. He's accused falsely. He's cast into prison. He's forgotten. But he is soon remembered, and the eventual story is that he was elevated to a high position in Pharaoh's court in Egypt. Joseph is probably thinking, wait till I get a chance to get even with my brothers. He might have been thinking, boy, I can't wait till if I ever get a chance to see my brothers again, I'm going to get them. They mistreated me so much. And I remember that. That's not a fond memory, but I remember the way my brothers treated me. And maybe I'll get a chance to pay them back. But that's not what happened. The father dies and the brothers make their way to Egypt because of the famine in Canaan's land. And then they realize, oh, Joseph, our brother that we sold, is now in a high position in Egypt, and we have to go to Egypt to get food. They're probably thinking, what is my brother going to do to me? How can I ask forgiveness from my brother for the ill treatment that I've done to him? Well, here's what Joseph said when they had the meeting of the brothers. It's in Genesis 50, verse 19. Joseph said to them, don't be afraid. I can imagine they'd be afraid. Joseph is in a very high position in Pharaoh's court. They're probably thinking, he can do a lot to me. But now they have the meeting of the brothers, and the first thing Joseph says is, don't be afraid. For am I in the place of God? As for you, you meant evil against me, but God meant it for good, in order to bring about, as it is this day, to bring the brothers together. To save many people alive, he said. So he says, now therefore, and he says it again, don't be afraid. I'll provide for you and for your little ones. And Joseph comforted them and spoke kindly to them. Joseph, where'd you learn that? The ability to forgive. Oh, my father. Jacob taught me that. The ability to forgive someone who mistreated me. You ever been mistreated? Happens to all of us sometimes, doesn't it? You're probably thinking, oh, yeah, I remember something in my life. But Jacob taught Joseph the ability to forgive a brother who mistreated them. That brings to mind the heritage that we need to leave as fathers to our children. The Apostle Paul wrote it in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. He says, be kind one to another. Okay. I can be kind to one another as long as you treat me right. That's sometimes the way we think. Only if you treat me right will I be kind to you. But then he says, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. And then he gives the illustration, even as. Forgive one another, even as. God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. Oh, yeah. Many times I have to come to God to forgive me. Think about my past. Think, oh, I didn't mean to do that. Didn't mean to say that. But we come to God. God, forgive me, and God does. He's faithful in that, in forgiveness. Forgive me. Some people think their sins are too bad that God won't forgive them, but that's not the case. I've heard people say to me, Brian, my sins are too many. My sins are too terrible. I've committed sins too long. I don't think God can forgive me. And I've said, yes, he can. Yes, he can. Don't ever think that you cannot be forgiven by God. That's the Bible message. That's what Jacob taught Joseph. Well, they mistreated me. Yeah, but the brothers come together and Joseph said, oh, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Number two, Jacob left Joseph an example of faith. It was an example of faith that they will not remain in Egypt, but that they will be allowed to return to the promised land. Remember Jacob's words in the scripture that was read to us? He says, you know, I'm about to die, but remember, Abraham and Sarah are buried back in Canaan's land. We're here in Egypt. Remember, Isaac and Rebekah are buried in Canaan's land. Remember, my wife Leah is buried in Canaan's land. So, son Joseph, when you leave the land of Canaan, don't leave my bones here. Don't leave my body here. So when Jacob dies, they take Jacob's body to Canaan's land and bury him where his family was buried. Ah, Joseph said, okay. They don't leave him there. But now when you keep reading the story, Joseph is going to die. He's 110 years old. And they finally, through after the plagues in Egypt, they make their exodus, and that's the second book of the Bible, the exodus out of Egypt, making their journey back to the promised land, Canaan's land. And Joseph is 110 years old. And in the exodus, Joseph dies there in Egypt. In Exodus 13, verse 19, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. An example of faith. You know, this situation is not going to stay like this. Jacob taught Joseph. Better times are going to come. There will be an exodus to the promised land. Again, I don't know the author. But it says, I watched him playing around my door, my neighbor's little boy of 4. I wondered why a child should choose to wear his dad's old worn-out shoes. I saw him try with all his might to make the laces snug and tight. I smiled to see him walk, and then he'd only step right out again. I heard him cry, his voice so glad, I want to be just like my dad. And I hoped his dad, his steps would choose the right things for his son to wear his shoes. And then a shout and a cry of joy, a hello, Dad, and a hiya, boy. They walked along in measured stride, each face aglow with love and pride. What have you done today, my lad? I tried to wear your old shoes, Dad. They're big, but when I'm a man, I'll wear your shoes, I know I can. So they stopped and stood there hand in hand. He saw his son's tracks in the sand. His words of prayer came to be, Lord, let my steps lead him to thee. An example of faith. So we as parents want to know, what are we leaving our children? Number one, I want to leave them with the ability to forgive brethren. The ability to forgive those who mistreat you. But second, I want to leave them an example of faith. Paul said in 2 Timothy 1, verse 5, I call to remembrance the genuine faith that's in you, Timothy, that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in you also, that generational faith that's been handed down. Just like Abraham to Isaac to Jacob and now to Joseph. And so it was given to grandmother Lois, to daughter Eunice, and now to son Timothy. Yeah. Faith. See, the power of example is mighty, isn't it? Like in the poem, Father or Dad, I'll be like you. Yeah. We sometimes say, like father, like son. Or we might say, a picture's worth a thousand words. We want to be leave an example of faith. Here you have the phrase, I'd rather see a sermon any day than hear one. Don't amen that. I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. But that's the idea. So parents or dad, what are you leaving your son? I hope you're leaving him an example of faith. Of faith. I remember the story of Dennis Burchett. He's not here today. But when he retired from teaching at the Sweetwater High School District, and they had the retirement party, and his daughter Katie had an opportunity to speak at that reception for Dennis. And so she said, one of the things she said, says, my dad taught me honesty and faith. And faith. Yeah. And then the principal of the high school, as he got up to speak, and her name was Linda Carlton, and she said, Dennis always had a joke to tell. Said they were always clean jokes. They weren't funny, just clean. And that's Dennis. But an example of faith. Example of faith. Number three, knowledge of God. I'm going to leave my children knowledge of God. In Genesis 50, verse 2, Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. Wow, great, great grandfather. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation. The children of Makar, the son of Manasseh, well, that's Joseph's son, Manasseh is, were also brought up on Joseph's knees. Yeah. So I just kind of think about that. There's a dire need that exists throughout the land for us as parents to don't forget to pick up our children and set them on our knees and give them faith. I can't do that anymore. Right, Rick? Our three boys, they're 180 pounds. They sit on my knees, I'm going to crumble. But when we have the children, don't forget, parents and grandparents, to sit them on your knees and tell them about God. That's what happened here. Joseph saw Ephraim's children to the third generation, brought them up on their knees. Yeah. I remember my brother and me sitting on a big easy chair in our living room when we were growing up, and Dad would sit in the chair and read us Bible stories. Rod would sit on one arm of the chair and I'm on the other. It's a precious memory. I'm going to teach our children the Word of God. Some say I'm not going to influence my child religiously. Well, you know what? You're already influencing your child religiously by not telling them anything about God. That child is going to grow up thinking evidently God's not important because they never told me about God. You already influenced your child religiously. Your child is going to be influenced religiously by the songs they hear, by the movies they watch, by the television shows they watch, by the people they hang around with. Your child's already being influenced religiously. The music they listen to, already influenced. So be sure you bring your child up on your knees while they're young and tell them about God. That's what Jacob left Joseph. Brought them up on his knees. The last one I have is just precious memories. You leave your children precious memories. I always think when I think about my parents, there's memories and precious ones. But the question now in our lesson this morning is to our parents that are here, what precious memory are you going to leave your child? What memory are you going to leave your child? And the Bible says in Genesis 25, verse 5, Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac. I don't know what else Abraham gave to Isaac, but I know he gave Isaac faith. I know Isaac gave Jacob faith. Jacob gave Joseph faith. When he says, when the verse says Abraham gave all that he had to Isaac, I think Abraham really left Joseph and or Jacob and Joseph an element of faith and dependence upon God. Abraham left his generations the ability for his children to come before God and say, you know, speak God, I'll listen. Or God, if you send, I'll go. Or God, if you command, I'll obey. That's what Abraham left Isaac and left to Jacob and left to Joseph and to Joseph's sons, Ephraim and Manasseh. That's what he left him. So we ask the question, parents, what are you leaving your children? And I hope it's not just something that they can hold in their hand. Give them something that will take them to heaven. To give his goodnight kiss, he stood beside my chair one night, and he raised an eager face to me, a face with love alight. And as I gathered in my arms the son God gave to me, I thanked the lad for being good and hoped he'd always be. His little arms crept round my neck, and then I heard him say, four simple words I cannot forget. Four words that made me pray. They turned a mirror on my soul, on secrets no one knew. They startled me. I hear them yet. He said, I'll be like you. So, Dad, what are you leaving your children, or parents? What are you leaving your children? I've listed four things in our lesson this morning. Be sure you leave your children, at least in our lesson, the ability to forgive one another. Brethren, brothers, one another. Leave your children an example of faith. You lead the way as parents. Lead the way of faith. Number three, be sure you leave them knowledge of God. Not only your example, but knowledge of God. Teach your children. And then number four, leave them precious memories. Precious memories. Always. All of us need to begin our influence by becoming a Christian. If you're not a Christian already, you need to obey that good news gospel message. Familiar verse in John 3:16, God so loved the world, he gave a son. Gave a son. It's impressive. Gave his son to die for us, that all of us that who believe might have eternal life. Eternal life. That's what I want. I want to be with God. I want to meet God, be with him eternally. God made provisions for that. And that's the invitation we extend at the close of a lesson. You're not a member of the New Testament church, not a member of the body of Christ, you're not a Christian, a member of the family of God. You have that opportunity this morning. Paul said in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how can you believe in someone you haven't heard? How can you believe in someone you haven't heard? You can't. So Jesus commissions his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He says, I want you to go out and preach a salvation message. Because how can they believe in someone that they haven't heard about? So you need to teach. And then you need to have faith in that message. The Bible, Jesus said it in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I'm he, you'll die in your sins. I don't want to die in my sins. I want to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews 11, verse 6, without faith it's impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek after him. So when I come to God, I can't come to God unless I hear about God, number one. And then I need to believe the message that I hear, that God is, that Jesus is God's son. And then as Jesus said, when I think about a third step in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5, except you repent, you'll perish. I don't want to perish. I want to repent. I want to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I want to turn my life around. And then I want to confess my faith that he is the Son of God, and then be baptized for remission of sins. In Jesus' last words in Matthew 28, verse 18, all the power, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. He has all the authority. So he commands his disciples, go and make disciples or Christians of every nation. Tell everybody, baptizing them in the name of the Father by heavenly authority. Baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teaching them, continued education. Keep teaching. Teaching them to observe everything that I've commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end. That's the invitation. That's the procedure, the steps, the formula, the recipe in becoming a Christian. Easy, simple steps. I want you to hear God's message, that God so loved, that God loves you. God sent his Son. Believe it. Repent. Turn your life around. Make your confession of faith that you believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then be baptized for remission of sins. And you have that opportunity this morning. Whosoever will may come. Let's stand together. We'll sing this song of encouragement. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve, you have that opportunity. We'll sing hymn number 902, first and last stanza. At the close of this song, you just simply let your request be known, then we'll have our dismissal prayer. 902, first.